Hour number two of the program, Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 9:30. Hawks pregame comes your way then. Let's waste no time and head out to the WadeFord.com hotline to begin the 7 o'clock hour with our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter of the AJC. Make sure you check out everything there. D., let's start here. Was it news to you when you heard today that Darnell Mooney broke his collarbone in training camp?
We knew he had a shoulder injury. The fact that it was a broken collarbone was new, yes.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting tidbit of information. Do you think that partially explains his play this season?
Yeah, because he's trying to protect the shoulder. And that's why he missed a game late last year with the shoulder. And I don't know what the real issue or real question is. Was it the same shoulder? Did he break it twice? Was it the other shoulder? But clearly he's been trying to protect that shoulder. And but now it comes off as an excuse. So you don't want to, there's no injury reporting issue here. You don't have to report that until the season started. It was happening in training camp. But now he's not playing well. You want to run out there that he's broke his collarbone. So that's you should have just said that from the beginning, and folks wouldn't be questioning it right now.
Speaking of questioning things, I don't know if there's an actual real answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, D. Why did it take until yesterday for them to bring in wide receiver help?
Well, they got wide receiver help in camp right now. They got four guys that they kept on the practice squad. Chris Blair being one of them, Nick Nash being the other. They've just been reluctant to – they did use Dylan Drummond one game. And they liked Casey Washington was having a great camp. They thought he was going to have a breakout year. And we saw that, too, in camp. So that would explain why they didn't go into the wide receiver market.
Okay, so now let's get to the crux of the issue here, D, as we're talking with D. Orlando Ledbetter. Check him out in the AJC, all your Falcons coverage. Why do you think, in your best estimation, is Michael Penix Jr. struggling so mightily right now, including that 12-for-28 in Germany?
Because all young quarterbacks struggle, Turtle. All of them do. I was there for Brett Favre in Green Bay. I was here for Matt Ryan. He went 11-6 his first year because he had a 2,000-yard backfield in Michael Turner and Jarrett Norwood, and all he had to do was find the safety and throw to the other side of the field. Brett Favre was a hot mess in Green Bay. All he did was lean on Sterling Sharp, and then, when he figured out how to read defenses, he was able to spread it around. He it was all Sterling Sharp and then screens to Edgar Bennett. That's all he knew how to do. And that got him to 9-7, got him to the playoffs the second year. The biggest pass he had was in the exhibition game when he learned how to throw the ball away. So, young quarterbacks struggle. They're seeing stuff for the first time. Brett Favre had a big arm, a 13 Wonderlic score. They used to, really just – choke him out in practice sometimes for some of the stuff he did. Grant, we don't get to see practice anymore, so I don't know. The name that's being left out is DJ Williams. Doug's son is the main quarterback coach. All four of those guys got to be responsible for Penix, Zach, TJ Yates, DJ Williams, those three guys, and of course the head coach. But, you got to develop quarterbacks. We want to just put him in the microwave. He is older and think that he's just going to lift the team. No, they caught up to what Zach did last year. Now what the counters are, what are the things that, they talk about execution. But you got to give him some winning plays to get him out of bad situations, and that's the coaching part of it.
What's going on third down, D?
They're getting beat up front. Three of those were sacks. One of them was a hot read that Kyle Pitts ran down the field on when, you saw him complete the hot reads against Tampa in week one. That's why I was like, okay, he can read. He can throw the hot routes. Now, here week nine, they're regressing. So, that's one thing, the blocking, the keep, because some of those are sacks. Some of those are people taking away routes, and some of them are busted plays, which, you got to eliminate those.
talking all things Falcons with our insider D. Orlando Ledbetter of the AJC. Make sure you check out his work there covering all things Atlanta Falcons. Okay, so there was some positive D in that last game. 7 sacks, 6 the week before. We haven't seen that kind of output in a long, long time. But how do you juxtapose that? I mean, I guess time of possession could be the answer, but you do 7 sacks, but then you give up 300 all-purpose yards to Jonathan Taylor, D.
Yeah, you're small. You're small. You're a smallish defense. This defense wasn't built to stop the run. They were built to play with a lead and go and attack people. Now, what's the adjustment when you don't get the lead and you only average 18 points? You're on the field too long. You get ran over. I mean, they put up a fight, but, you know, they stopped on one play where the guy got out for 83. But, you know, I was asking them, is this scheme or is this, you know, because, you know, you got a – smallest nickel defense out there. People are running all over it. Then you got to bulk it up, go big nickel or go 43, go old school 43 and try to, you know, pound back on people. But, you know, they just kept talking about misfits and miss guy here and all that kind of stuff. But they're just too small, and they're not going to last on the field that long if the offense isn't putting up points.
So then in your assessment, with all of that said, do you believe Jeff Ulbrich is doing a good job right now? Because it seems like it's a lot of good here, but some really bad there.
Yeah, you're 29th in run. You're 29th against the run. So, you know, no, you're 29th. You're next to last in the league in stopping the run. So, yeah, you got a pass rush now, but you can't stop the run. Yeah, you got the number one ranked pass defense, but it doesn't matter because nobody has to throw because they could just run over you. So, no, it's a you know, I don't know. It's good to see him fighting, but it's 29th against the run. You know, let's just call it what it is. It's not good against the run, and people don't have to throw because they can run on you.
And, yeah, that's ultimately what continues to happen week in, week out. Okay, one thing that could be a big boost this weekend with Carolina coming to town is the health of the offensive line. What was the latest update we got today?
Yeah, Chris Lindstrom made it through the game, didn't practice. Jake got a rest day. Kyle Hinton's name hasn't been mentioned, so he did a good job. Bergeron is day-to-day, so that's where they're at with the offensive line going into the Carolina game.
How do you think Charlie Warner is performing right now? Because I know if in an ideal world, he's a key part of this offense. He's almost like a sixth offensive lineman, somebody that they're going to ask to make some tough blocks to help spring Bijan and Tyler. But I know he's had a couple of good games, but also a couple of really uneven games, D.
Yeah, you know, they try to run off of him and kind of get that little extra blocker up there. And I think you saw him do a good job on some of the Algier runs on the big drive where they got back in there to tie it up. Or, I mean, to take the lead late. But, yeah, kind of, you know, everybody kind of knew he's coming now. And they're meeting him at the point of attack. And that's kind of clogging things up a little bit. He's not getting a lot of drive on his blocks. And, you know, that's kind of a part that might be clogging up some things in the run game.
Speaking of the run game, do you feel like they're using Tyler Algier enough? You feel like they're mixing him in enough? It seems like every time they hand him the rock more than 10 times, they have a pretty good chance of winning the game, but those games have been few and far between.
Yeah, you know, this game, they're up. They got the lead, and they come out throwing. And I'm like, why? You know, that was the time to pound the ball at somebody, and they didn't do it, trying to get too cute with the finesse part of it. You got the backs, and you got the line. And make them stop you three plays in a row. If you got to go four, go four. But, they definitely need to lean on both of those backs now. I've been saying this for over a year and a half now. I'm like, hey, all y'all need to do is do the Ben Johnson. You know, do the David Montgomery Gibbs thing. You know, you got Bijan and Gibbs on track, but you don't have Algier getting close to the carries that Montgomery gets. And you can do that when you're converting things on third down.
All right. So with this game coming up, we all know how important it is versus Carolina. What is their margin right now, in your opinion? It seems like they're maybe only one or two more losses away from this thing being a wrap.
Well, yeah, no doubt. But, you know, people are acting like, you know, this was rostered with the 78 Steelers. This is a developmental roster. I don't see four Super Bowl four Hall of Famers on both sides of the ball. So this team is still young and growing. You got to get, you just got to get one at this point. You know, look at three in a row, you could probably get those. But, you know, there's no evidence that says they can do it, given the fact they blew the Carolina game and the Dolphins game. So, you know, you're trying to play up and down to your opponents. You're not good enough to do that. So, got to take care of this one. Yeah, take care of your rivalry thing. Get back to 500. You got level footing. And then if you're going to do anything special this year, you're going to have to beat Seattle and the Rams down the stretch.
Before I let you go, in your honest assessment, you've been covering Arthur Blank and his staff for a long time. If this team continues to trend the way it's trending, is there any way that either Raheem Morris or Terry Fontenot return next year?
Yeah, there is. If he's happy with enough progress, and given the fact that it's a young team that's building, and he sees enough there to keep building, then, you know, they come back. You know, you look around the league now, Jason Lick in Tampa, same situation. It was sketchy. They couldn't get off the ground. They get Brady, get a Super Bowl, stumble into Baker, and, you know, he gets a contract extension. So, you know, he drafted Jameis number one overall. Most people would have ran him for that. Terry hasn't had, picks when he should have got Penny Sewell and so forth. You know, you can go over the picks and, argue for both sides. And if the owner thinks the progress or the franchise is moving in the right direction, he's going to be reluctant to blow it up. We've seen him give his coaches a lot of grace, probably Quinn a little bit too long, maybe Mike Smith not enough grace. But, the pattern is that if he's happy with progress and he sees enough good things, they're certainly going to evaluate it all. But, you know, if they get hot here down the stretch, they just beat the teams they're supposed to beat. They'll have enough to keep building and moving forward.
D, great stuff. Appreciate the time. As always, we'll be checking you out in the AJC. I swear one of these times I have you on, it's going to be to talk about a win. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Well, okay. We'll wait for that day.
Yeah, you and me both. All right, thanks, D. Appreciate it. That is D.
Take care, Turtle.
That is D. Orlando Ledbetter right there. Every time I've had him on, it's after a loss. I mean, what can you say? That's just the way this season has gone. Back to your calls, 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, you'll be first up. Thanks for holding. If not, give Oren a call, 404-726-0929. I'll play the cut again when we get back. Raheem Morris not setting the right tone, in my opinion, talking about Michael Penix Jr. and where he's at. What do you think? And also, a shoulder injury or a broken collarbone? What's the difference? Oh, we'll talk about it. Just want to remind you, this Saturday, noon to 2, join Allie Mack at Rick Case Key in Duluth as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, 50-inch 4K smart TV, rolling stand, and other prizes. Plus, another winner takes home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that's Saturday, noon to 2, Rick Case Key in Duluth with Allie Mack on 92.9 The Game.